Today's audiocast for Friday, October 6th, 2006 is sponsored by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. Last week, Eclipse Aviation received full-type certification for its very light jet, and earlier this week, Cirrus Design started taking deposits for its personal jet. Piper is expected to announce its jet plans next week at the National Business Aviation Association Convention in Orlando, and there are other very serious players planning to enter the market. While they all offer something different, they all share one basic requirement. They're going to need insurance. AvWeb's Russ Niles spoke with Ed Nichols, who runs the aviation department of Integro Insurance Brokers in New York, about the impact of the very light jet phenomenon on the industry and what new owners can expect when they go to buy insurance.
It's an interesting time for your business because we've had all of these announcements in recent weeks about a flood of small jets coming onto the market. Cirrus is the latest. They're saying that they've had 1,500 people who have approached them to buy one of their new jets, and nobody's even seen a picture of it. What do you make of all this, Ed?
Well, we think it's a very exciting time, and it's certainly a concept that's going to change the change the skies. It's going to change the industry. I think, from an insurance standpoint, the underwriters who will be providing insurance to the owners of these aircraft are still trying to come to grips with exactly how they're going to approach this. Right now, there's a tremendous focus on training, but there's other concerns about how much limit of liability people are going to be able to buy to cover themselves and the flights of these aircraft.
What is the range of liability that's being bandied about right now?
Well, it's just conversation at this point because it doesn't have to be a reality yet. The people are talking about possibly for non-professional pilots, possibly only a limit of liability of $1 million, say. And there are going to be high-profile people in these aircraft, and they're going to be hoping possibly for higher limits than that, but the industry is really not in a position to provide, again, non-pros, more than that at this point in time.
Okay, well, as you said, there is a big focus on training. Let's look at Eclipse. Eclipse is having United Airlines train everybody that buys an Eclipse aircraft that's going to fly it as an owner pilot. Does that give the industry some comfort?
Absolutely. And they've had discussions with the markets and demonstrations with the underwriting markets to show them how this is going to work, because there's indeed a very strong focus whether or not it's going to be Eclipse with United Airlines or Cessna, the Mustang with flight safety. There's going to be a tremendous focus on the fact that these people are coming up into an aircraft that is much different type of aircraft than they've been used to flying. And they want to make sure that whether it's through mentor programs or through just constant monitoring, that they are not creating problems for themselves and for others and for the insurance market, because they don't want to see something happen that's going to create problems in the market for people trying to buy even $1 million worth of insurance.
The insurance industry is by nature conservative, and I'm just wondering if perhaps it's a little bit behind the technology curve. We're told by the manufacturers that technology has reached the point where these jet aircraft truly are easy to fly, and the average pilot is capable of flying one safely.
I think you're right. They do see, though, that there are some of these aircraft have different safety features and more redundancy than some others. But I think you're absolutely right in saying that it is conservative, and this is a new area here. Again, with professional pilots, this is not a problem, and they should not have difficulty obtaining significant limits, much higher than $1 million. It's just the non-pros and the possibility that you could wind up with fractional ownership of these aircraft as well. There could be a lot more people flying these aircraft that are just not used to this type of equipment.
What sort of currency requirements are going to be imposed on pilots, and what sort of responsibility is being laid at the feet of the owner pilots by the insurance industry?
Well, a lot of that's still being sorted out, and as far as the currency, a lot of that has to do with the individual aircraft you're talking about, whether it's a Mustang or the Atom or the Eclipse or whichever. But I think what you're going to find is that the insurance companies are going to require a very significant understanding of the qualifications of the pilot, where their hours have been, what kind of aircraft in the past, and how they plan on going forward with the manufacturers in a continuing training program, especially to the point where until they get to the point where they're okay by themselves.
Well, of course, there's been some discussion about this, but has any conclusion been reached on how much it's going to cost an individual owner pilot to ensure himself to fly one of these new jets?
There have been numbers that have been put out there, but I've also heard that some of those numbers are not necessarily hard numbers, they're simply estimates, and there have been estimates of premiums based on hours. But until the industry really has to start issuing policies, I think the manufacturers will keep working with the insurance industry to make sure that, again, the insurers really understand what's going on. When somebody is going to purchase one of these aircraft, that they have a good feel for how much they're actually going to be paying for their insurance costs, because that's an important part of the financial equation.
So you can't even give us a hint?
Well, I'd hate to say something because a lot of this hasn't had to happen yet, and policies have not had to be issued for X amount of dollars, and underwriters do have different feelings about where they want to go premium-wise. I don't think it would do much good for me to speculate on individual aircraft and what each might cost, but again, you're going to find that various aircraft are going to dictate a variety of premium levels. Some will be more expensive than others. But a very big driver of the premium is going to be the training program.
So what's your advice to someone who's buying a jet?
I'd say to focus much as possible on the training aspects of this and to put themselves in the position of an aviation insurance underwriter who's looking to evaluate whether or not to put out a $1 million limit of liability, whatever that limit might be, on an individual pilot. And what you would do if you were in the underwriter's shoes, I think, would be just to show them that you are as competent as you can possibly be, that you have gone through the training, you plan on going through more training, and that you are very much part of the process of them understanding that they should be comfortable with you as a pilot.
Ed Nichols from the Aviation Department of Integro Insurance Brokers in New York. Also making news this week, a couple of charter pilots from New York could be facing charges in Brazil relating to that mid-air collision between a business jet and a Boeing 737, which killed 155 people on the airliner last week. General aviation leaders are talking tough about user fees and a cautionary tale from Australia about the potential pitfalls of selling and buying an airplane on eBay. For all this and a lot more, just log on to www.avweb.com. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, just drop us an email to audionews@avweb.com. Today's audiocast was sponsored by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, October 9th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading AvWeb's Audio News.